back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm going to answer a comment or a question in a couple of episodes ago about the calendar. I'm increasingly getting questions about New Moon, Shabbat, and how I organize my calendar, which is not necessarily my calendar. It's the Most High's calendar. So let me try to lay the groundwork so you can do your own research. You can do your own digging and seeking the Most High. This is the whole point of this walk, is for me to give you bits and pieces and for you to connect it. And so the Most High can teach you and show you exactly where you need to be in respects to the calendar. I'm going to start off with Jubilees 2, verse 9. And on the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and set them in the expanse of the heaven to give light upon all the earth and to rule over the day and the night and divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim appointed the sun to be a great sign on the earth for days and for Shabbats and for months and for feasts and for years and for Shabbats of years and for Jubilees and for all seasons of the years. I repeat, and Elohim appointed the sun to be a great sign on the earth for days and for Shabbats. For days and for Shabbats. It does not say he made the night, the evening, for Shabbats, does it? So a lot of Hebrews in this awakening are clinging to Judaism. Even still, even when people have exposed the Friday, the Saturday evening Shabbats is not biblical, people still hang on to that because it's natural. It's easy. Because most people stop their workday Friday evening and they don't have anything to do on Saturday. So it's very easy for most Hebrews to observe Judaism Shabbats. But it's not biblical. For it says right here, he made the sun for days and for Shabbats. Yahushua said that if a man walk in the daytime, he stumbles not. But if a man walk in the darkness, he stumbles. This was a parable to the other nations, specifically Sadducees and Pharisees, because they made the tradition out of Scripture, the commandments of men, not Scripture, men. And so, if it's 12 hours in a day, my Shabbats are on the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. That's where my Shabbats are. I mentioned in last episode about Miriam of Migdal going on a certain Shabbat to the tomb where Yahushua was buried or kept. And she rose early while it was still dark. So on that certain Shabbat, why would they need to clarify that she rose up early when it was still dark? If the Shabbats were from evening to evening, they would have just said, oh, it was a certain Shabbat that she just happened to be there. Now, other King James and other weak, lukewarm Christian translations turned it into, oh, Sunday, oh, the first of the week. But in this translation, it says the Shabbat, on a certain Shabbat. So it's emphasizing that if she rose up early on a Shabbat, which means the Shabbat is coming at sunrise, that she still had ability to go there before it was Shabbat. And that's why when it had finally become Shabbat, when she was looking for Yahushua, Yahushua found her and said, do not touch me. Which means he was still in a process of, you know, going to see the Father. See, he didn't want to be defiled. And he didn't want to be defiled on the Shabbat. So that's why they emphasize that she rose up early. I've done this myself. You've probably done this yourself. You know that if those who are following the sunrise Shabbats, that you know that, say like you have to go drop your children off, which is what I had to do a couple of times. Like, you know, you drop your child, you have to drop your child off to school and you forget to fill up the car with gas. So, you know, on certain Shabbats, when the sun is not rising till 7:30, you can make it to the gas station at 6 a.m. fill up your car and still be spiritually legal. I've done this before. I'm pretty sure some of you have done it before. It's almost the same thing. Now, she's not buying or selling, but she's not doing her or going about doing her own thing while the Shabbat has started. She's doing it before. So let's go to the new moon, the start of the months. Now, I've gotten a lot of conversations and arguments and back and forths about the translation of new moon. It just means months. And they only say that or state that when they have already moved the new moon calendar into a sun solar calendar and they moved it to March so they could participate in Passover in March, saying that it's the new year in March because it's spring. But the Bible wasn't made. The events of the Bible didn't happen in America during American seasons or the Northern Hemisphere. What lies in the Northern Hemisphere, along with America, is the fake land in Israel. This is, again, why so many conjoined with the traditions and laws and statutes and commandments of Jews, Judaism, instead of their own biblical heritage, because they have not dug enough or seen enough of the calendars to understand that that place over there is not biblically accurate. You can go through, matter of fact, you don't have to go through nothing. You can look up Mount Zion in the Sefer. Now, mind you, if you got the Sefer, do not update it to the newest one. Because if you go to the search, they destroyed the search word. They have not fixed the search word. If you put in, say, like New Moon or Shabbat, you're not going to get all of the options as you did from the old one. So I kept the old one on my computer where if I type in New Moon or Shabbat, I'll get all of the options of scriptures that say New Moon Shabbat together. If you updated it to the new Sefer and you search New Moon Shabbat, you maybe get two or maybe one verse if you're lucky. I don't know what they're doing over there, but they're destroying the fact that how we search and know scripture, which is what the enemy does. And this is the reason why we can't have our history and our scriptures in the hands of Gentiles, because they'll just screw it up and destroy it more than they already have. But if you look up Mount Zion, it talks about how glorious and big the mountain of Mount Zion is. If you go to Numbers or different parts of the Bible, and he says, I'm going to lead you into a large land with valleys and hills and mountains, a large land. There's no way in the world you could look at Israel and say, oh, he meant this large land, a land that's no bigger than New Jersey. No way you could think that. And if you look up Mount Zion, it says in Israel, it is a hill. It's not even a mountain. These people have convinced you that the Sea of Galilee is a lake in the Middle East. They convinced you of that. All around the world, we call bodies of water surrounded by land, lakes and ponds. But when it comes to them, they are allowed, they have convinced, they have bamboozled you into believing that a body of water around land is a sea. Now, I've seen maps where they have put Galila or Galilila in their translations, and that body of water that's in southern West Africa, that body of water runs into the sea and goes all the way on across the southern hemisphere of South Africa into the sea and pours out near the Indian Ocean. I've seen these maps in the David Rumsey map collection. I've also seen just above this Sea of Galilee or Galila is Herod. Now, why would they have Herod there? Was not the Herodians around the Sea of Galilee or around Galilee searching for Yahushua when he was a child? I even seen maps where a little man with a beard near Lake or Sea Galilee, and it says Herod, H-A-R-O-D-E. I've also seen a river called Nero, They have tried to convince you that no one went down there. Of all the conquests of the Grecians and the Romans and them pouring into Africa, Northern Africa, they want you to believe that they just all of a sudden stopped. No one ever talks about what happened in the middle and southern parts of Africa as if it's not even written in history books. You trying to tell me that the Grecians and Romans stopped just in North Africa? They have had to be like, okay, this land is fertile. There's a lot going on in this land. Let's keep going south to see what else is here. You trying to tell me they just stopped in Northern Africa and didn't go no further? So if I know that this is where the real biblical Yerushalayim is in southern Namibia, it makes more sense that the Grecians and Romans will come down there. Remember, they are the descendants of Edom. And King Sepho, which is the grandson of Esau, he fought for Kittim, which at the time was Rome and Greece mixed together. So the children of Kittim was ruled by King Sepho, who hated the nation of Yasharel, who gathered together with the Moabites to fight against the Egyptians and the Israelites at the time of them being in captivity to Egypt or Mitzrayim. So up around Greece and Rome was ran for a time, I think it was like 50 years he reigned, was from Esau's lineage. So this is how we got Esau, the Edomites, mingled in with Rome and Greece and the children of Japhet. So if they believe that they had right to the burial grounds when Esau died, where do you think they tried to bury him? They didn't bury him in Petra. They tried to bury him where Jacob and Yitzchak and Abraham were, which is in southern Africa. If you read the book of Yasher, you'll find out about this. So this is how I know that this is the real biblical lands, just based on the topography talked about in Scripture in the Old Testament. Now back to what I was saying. When it was wholly extinguished, I'm going to Enoch 78:14. And when it is wholly extinguished, its light is consumed in heaven, and on the first day it is called the new moon. For on that day light is received into it. So once the light is received into the moon, which means it makes that sliver, that little bit of light, that is called the new moon. And this is the first day. It's not after the new moon, this light received upon it, then afterwards it's the new moon. It's the first day of the new moon. No, it's when the light touches the moon. That is when it is the first day. Now, those who have asked, well, I'll get to that later. If you coming into this understanding brand new and you are trying to figure out if the Shabbats and new moons are the same, like I said, go to the old version of the Sefer, type new moon and Shabbat, and you'll see how many times new moon and Shabbats are mentioned together. And for example, Amos 8:5, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell grain, and the Shabbat that we may set forth wheat? So this is the Israelites asking, when will the new moon be gone? And when will the Shabbat be gone? So they couldn't buy or sell during the new moon, just like we can't buy or sell during Shabbats. So it's the same. And it makes sense because you want a Shabbat, you want a stoppage of work to discontinue from your work week or at the end of the month or the beginning of the month. So you want to have a starting point. You want everybody to know at that time when the new month is starting. If you don't have these new months, everything is like a run-on. And this is what people have done to the calendar when they moved it to March. You don't have a new moon. You are strictly a solar calendar because you're trying to fit 364 days in this calendar. And the only way you could do that is if you move the calendar to a northern hemisphere calendar and you make it about March and spring and you start your calendar there. That's the only way you could do it. But when doing so, you lose new moon Shabbats. So you're losing the new moon feast days. You're missing 12 new moon feast days just to move the calendar so you could have 364 and Passover and the three feasts of Yahuwah. That's what you're doing. You're focusing only on the three feast days. And by doing this, you're losing 12 new moon feast days, and you're also losing other feast days and other days of the calendar that needs to happen based on the new moon. So where do you go from there? I mean, we'll talk about that later in scripture. So the first day of the month is the new moon, when light is received upon it. Now, wherever you are, if you are trying to figure out what the new moon looks like, get the on the Apple Store, there's a moon app. And there you can look at the phases of the moon, or you can just Google it. Google what the phase of the moon is, and you'll be able to see yourself when the light is start to touch upon the moon. That is the first day. Now, let's go to Jubilees 6, 36 to 37. For there will be those who will surely make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons and comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. For this reason, the years will come upon them when they will disturb the order and make an abominable day, the day of testimony, and an unclean day, a feast day. And they will confound all the days, the holy with the unclean. Now, he didn't say we would ever fix this problem. He just said we would go wrong. He said, for this reason, because we know that the seasons will be disturbed in the observation of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons, and it comes in from year to year, 10 days too soon. So now, if you have observed the new moon, you will understand that we are now in 354 days in this calendar and not 364 days in his calendar before he sped everything up. And he says, for this reason, the years will come upon them, they will disturb it. Why? Because we are now seeing, brothers, going into the Dead Sea Scroll calendar that the Essenes have made, where they tried to fix it by doing what? In the Northern Hemisphere, they had changed the new moons, and they changed everything into a solar calendar. Because why? They are sun worshipers. They are pagans. So then if you change that, now you're looking at using the seven-day creation story, which is not biblical. Nowhere did he say that make sure you understood the 7 days of creation and then you add that to the calendar. We all fell for that okie doke. It doesn't say anywhere to do that. It doesn't say, oh, when you get to March, the spring equinox, which is already pagan. When we get to observing equinoxes, when the Most High don't have equinoxes anywhere, it doesn't say nothing about winter solstices, summer solstices, spring equinoxes, nowhere in scripture. But we have changed the calendar to fit a pagan calendar of using a spring equinox to do the first day of creation, the second day of creation, the third day of creation, the fourth day he did this. And now we go from 3 days after the fourth day of the creation story. And then that's where we make our Shabbats, which is always on Friday and Saturday. That even don't even make sense. And so then you go 15, 14 days, then you're doing Shabbats. And if you're in that solar calendar, there are going to be times where you do back-to-back Shabbats, which that's not in scripture either. Observing back-to-back Shabbats because you have moved it to a solar calendar and now your feast days are all over the place, and sometimes your feast days are going to land on the days of a Shabbat. So when you have Passover could be on the 14th, which is a Friday, that's a Shabbat. And then you have Saturday, then you're doing another Shabbat. That makes no sense. Not at all. It doesn't say do back-to-back Shabbats. This is what happens when you throw the new moon calendar or the new moons all out of whack because you're trying to force 364 days, where it says there will be those who will surely make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the seasons. Now, if we are supposed to watch the moon, depending on what Enoch said in 7814, whose fault or who moved the moon? We didn't move it. How can I correct something that I did not do? I mean, to be able to move the moon out of season, it takes an Elohim. It takes a God to do that. And it will take a God to fix it. So why am I going to try to fix something that the Most High wanted to happen? All we got to do, go to 2 Baruch chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, behold, the days come, and the time shall hasten more than the former, and the season shall speed on more than those that are past, and the years shall pass more quickly than the present years. Therefore have I now taken away Zion, that I may the more speedily visit the world in its season. So what the Most High is saying is, I'm making sure in the time of sinners, which is mentioned in Enoch, at the time of sinners, years will speed on fast. So that's one witness. Here's a second witness in Baruch saying that I'm going to speed this world on just so I can visit it in its due season. I'm going to take away Zion now, so when I come to visit, I can give it back to my people. I can give it back to my inheritance. After, because he says, and or his son says in Matthew, that the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. If the days weren't shortened, there would be no flesh saved. It's because this world is going into a season of sinful nature. And in doing so, that means the economy is going to collapse. That means the way we try to find resources, we won't be able to find them fast enough. If he doesn't speed this place up, that means Satan will have, his reign will be a lot longer and will be a lot tougher. Our days will be longer. We won't be able to sustain ourselves if the days were longer. The reason why it's shortened is because they can't fully fulfill all of the gross and incompetence that they want to accomplish upon people. If you let these people run rampant and given the time that our ancestors had or dealt with, they would completely destroy this earth. Wickedness runs on a 24-hour clock. It don't stop. So if it was a lot longer back then, just imagine of you searching for resources and can't find them in a day. And you would have to reason within yourself, man, I might as well go to OnlyFans. Because those days would turn into weeks. The weeks would turn into months. The months would turn into years. And it get to a point where you start saying, "Well, damn, I'm not finding no help. I might as well do OnlyFans. I might as well rob. I might as well steal. I might as well kill. I might as well murder." By shortening it, your brain would be like, "Oh, I can stop this within a week. Like, I'm not suffering. I can go through this for," and by that time, years are already passed. Look at COVID. Could you imagine how COVID would have destroyed a lot of those mom and pop businesses if it was felt in a time back in the day where time was a lot longer? Those businesses would be completely wiped out. COVID will feel like it was 5 years instead of feeling like it was 2 years. That's what I'm saying. So it's the Most High's purpose to speed up time. And the time of sinners to speed it up. So those who are of the elect will be saved. So not everyone be polluted. It was the same way in the days of Noah. He saved 8 people because everybody else's bloodline became infected. When it says the Nephilim and the Rephaim was sinning against man, bird, and beast, they were infecting their blood into everything. In order for Yah to save a perfect bloodline, a righteous bloodline, an untampered bloodline, he had to go through Noah. So just imagine if those years were a lot longer, that he didn't give them a 125-year warning. All of that bloodline would have been infected. So now in this calendar, we understand new moons. We understand the importance of the new moons. Like I said, do your due diligence and do the seeking and searching. Look up new moons and Shabbats and the Sefer and see how closely related they are. It's not the beginning of months. It's not a mistranslation, because Enoch 78:14 backs up that it's a specific time where we observe the phase of the moon. And in Psalms and other parts of the scripture, it says the moon is a sign of feasts. That is why most feast days, well, I can say most feast days, but the major feast days, the 3 feast days, the Feast of Passover, Pesach, Shavuot, Tabernacles, and Sukkot, those three feast days start on the 14th day. They start on the 14th day. Now, if you were in a solar calendar, it would make scripture irrelevant to David saying that and Solomon saying that this, that the moon is the sign of the feast, because if you're on a solar calendar, your feast days, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, the phases of the moon are all over the place. Every year, the phases of the moon is going to be all over the place. So why would they say that the moon is a sign of feast if it's irregular, or if it's different times or different phases of the moon that will be shown on those days? The moon is full on the 14th day. On the 14th and the 15th, the moon is full. This is when the feast happened. The 14th and the 15th. There's always a Shabbat on the 14th, which is makes sense because the Shabbat's already ordered by the moon. So if you go from 1 to 7, that's the first Shabbat. And 7 to 14, the 14th day, that's your Shabbat. So on the 15th, when the feasts are starting, this is when the moon is at its full. So that's why he says that the moon is a sign of feast, because it's bright and shining in the sky. It's the middle of the month. Okay, and what we do on new moon feast days or new moon Shabbats, we do offerings. And you can find that in the book of Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days. Solemn means dignified, important days. And in the beginnings of your months. I repeat, and in the beginnings of your months. That means new moon. And in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your ascending smoke offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahuwah Elohim. This is telling me the Most High is signing this with his name, that this is what he wants forever. There is no end of days to this Torah. There is no end of days to his statutes. There's no end of days to his commandments. His son didn't get crucified so we can stop participating in new moon Shabbats, or his sacrifices, peace offerings, and smoke offerings. He said it's for a memorial. Now ask yourself, do you have a memorial with the Most High? Do you have a treasury of works with the Most High when it's in respects of something that he loves and loves for us to observe? And you're asking, well, how do we observe these ascending smoke offerings, sacrifices, and peace offerings? I would say go to Numbers 1 through 16, but I'm going to hit you with Numbers 15, 14, 15, and 16. But read the entire chapter of Numbers 15. It will tell you what kind of meat. It will tell you how you mingle the meat with wine and flour. Now, mind you, this was done with the tribes where there were a lot of people. So when they use measurements like a tenth deal of this and a tenth deal of that, that isn't a large amount of oil, a large amount of wine, and a large amount of meat. All right. Be understanding and search further to know what is acceptable. Now, some of us are a household of three. Some of you a household of four. Some of you even a household of two. Do not go out there and try to buy the entire cow to do an ascending smoke offering. Be smart. You don't need to douse it and roll it over with a bucket of flour and a bucket of oil and go out and buy six bottles of wine and try to, come on, be smart about this. Know what it's in your ability to provide and go from there. And the Most High will show you here and there where you can make the offerings and peace offerings better. As long as you're not coming into it with the heart like Cain, where he went and offered the Most High, you know, the low value part of his offering. And that's why he wasn't accepted over Abel's offering, because Abel took the goodness of what he had and gave to the Most High, while Cain kept the good stuff for himself and provided Yah with the stuff that was, you know, no one would actually want, buy, or sell. That's why he was, you know, rejected. So don't offer the Most High something that you wouldn't give to your mom or what you wouldn't give to your own family. So 14, 15, 16, it says, and if a stranger sojourn with you or whosoever be among you in your generations, it don't say up to when Yahushua was sacrificed. It didn't say up to when Yahushua was resurrected. It don't say when Yahushua comes back. It says generations. That means generations is forever. And if a stranger sojourn with you, a stranger, that means anybody outside the nation of Yasharel, anybody, any Gentile that sojourns with us, you think it was only Israelites that left out of Mizraim at the time of Passover, at the time of leaving Mizraim? You think it was just only Israelites? Other nations came with us too that were in bondage with Mizraim or just wanted to leave because they were tired of Egypt anyway. It will be the same as it was then when we have our second Exodus. You guys are not going to want to be in America when it falls, when it's judged, and when it's destroyed. You are going to want to come where we are, which is commendable, which is understandable. Why would you want to go through the law, statutes, and commandments only to be left in a desolate country? You would want to go to be blessed. Like it says in Scripture as a prophecy in Ezekiel, that all nations, all peoples, all kindreds, all tongues will come to Yerushalayim and worship before Yahuwah. He will be your Elohim and you will be his servant. Period. It don't say he going to take a detour and come to America, Europe, Asia, Russia, or France. He's saying y'all going to come to see him in his land. And will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, as you do, so he shall do. Okay? You will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, as you do, so he shall do. That means after you have mingled your meat with oil, flour, and wine, you put it on acceptable wood found in, I think, Jubilees or Yasher, and that was based on the offering of Abraham at the time of Yitzchak being born. I'm paraphrasing. Look that up. Don't just take my word for it because I'm trying to find out what book it was in. But I know they talk about what woods was acceptable that Abraham used for a ascending smoke offering. Me, I've been always using like mesquite wood and apple flavored wood from Home Depot. I think I'm going to now go into cedar. I think I saw cedar in one of the scriptures of acceptable wood. So I'm going to try cedar because it's actually a lovely smell. So this is why the Most High says it's of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. Apparently, the Most High loves smelling burnt wood and meat with oil, flour, and it's almost like frying chicken. Like, we all love the smell of our mother's fried chicken when she started baking chicken. You know how that smell smells when you walk into the house. Just imagine this is what the Most High loves to smell when you do these offerings. One ordinance shall be both for you of the assembly and also for the stranger that sojourns with you. And an ordinance forever in your generations as ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahuwah. You will be just like us. Do as we do. This is not about a Christian doctrine. This is not about Christianity or a religion. You must follow exactly what Scripture says do. And the only way you would know what Scripture says do is if you're watching the Israelites doing exactly what Scripture says for them to do. And this is why I have an issue with these silly, simple-minded camps and these leaders that you Negroes have hoisted up for yourselves to run these camps. Because Gentiles are looking at us for the example. And if we're not putting forth a righteous example, they fall away from it and go maybe back into Christianity, or they just don't care about it anymore and they go into New Age and they make up other things for themselves. We are supposed to be the light to the other nations. We are not supposed to be on street corners calling white folks devil and calling them out their names for something that our ancestors and forefathers got ourselves into. So it says, one Torah and one manner of law shall be for you,
and for the stranger that sojourns with you. We have strangers right now sojourning with us, maybe not in person, but on social media, from this podcast, our communications in email or text. They are sojourning with us. So we must put forth a better example of how we are supposed to walk in Scripture and do these feast days, these new moon days, in a proper way so they can also be children that sojourns with us or be grafted in with us. There is no other way to be grafted in unless you do exactly what we do. And another way you can do that is if you pay attention to people who are actually doing all of Scripture as much as they can do it. We may not be doing everything 100% right, but we're doing it as close as we can to Scripture. You know, with the understanding that has been given to us. One Torah and one manner of law shall be for you. One Torah, one manner of law. Christianity and religion is not a law. It is not the Torah. So come away from these pagan traditions, these pagan ideas, and think you can mingle truth in with the lies. Because if you do that, you make the whole entire doctrine a lie. So now. Now we understand a little bit about where to find offerings and how we do these offerings and the trumpet that is made of silver that we blow at the ascending offerings month to month to month. By doing so, you now know and you tell yourself, okay, this is the second month. This is the third month. Get out of, okay, this is February, March, April, May. It was none of that in Scripture. Get away from the Gregorian calendar and trying to name Yah's calendar with those months. Get that out of your head. I know it takes a lot of it takes time to go through the process of using two calendars, because obviously those of you who have children and families and work, you have to somewhat pay attention to the Gregorian. But I'm telling you, after a while, you will become ambidextrous. You'll be able to use the Gregorian and Yah's calendar, and you'll be able to get used to it. Me, I have a dry eraser board where I put up Yah's calendar, and I circle the days, and I know when the new moon is going to come, and I know when the moon phases are going to end. And how do I know that? Because it says if it's 354 days, the 10 days too soon from year to year to year, that means the months alternate between 29 and 30. It's 29, 30, 29, 30. So I mean, 6 months is going to be 29, 6 months is going to be 30. That's how you order it. It ain't going to be 29, 29, 29, then 30, 30, 30. It's 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30. So if you ever have a brain fart over, okay, this moon looks like the light is going to touch it, but it won't touch it until the second day, then you go back to, okay, it's the 29th day. That means the new moon phase must be 30 days. Because we already had 29. So I'm going to use this moon on this when it comes in at this time of day. Then I can redo my calendar. I mean, I think that's very important. I don't think a lot of people understand that, because the new moon, that sometimes when the light touches it, it's at 9 o'clock at night, or it's at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, or it's like as close as like what, 11:59 at night. So, like, what do you use? Do you use the next day over, or do you do the next day back? And this is also talked about in Enoch. He says, in Enoch, he says, it can never be too forward or too backward a single day in order to order the seasons, in order to order the months. It can never be too forward or too backwards. Okay? So that's why we alternate 29 and 30 to make 354 in this calendar. Now, I've said this before, I have a lot of theories on the 10 days that are taken out. Maybe the Most High, when it comes to the 10 plagues of Egypt, and he says that he will revisit this land, because this land is like second Egypt, with the plagues as before, as it's mentioned, I think, in Ezra Baruch. I'm thinking, in my theory, the Most High is going to slow it down for 10 days to come in with these plagues. Or he could just add these plagues in 10 days to make 364, and then we start, you know, 364 and doing it all the right way, and we actually slow this calendar down and us to have our second Passover. I don't know. That's just a theory of mine. You know, this is what I'm thinking about, like, where these 10 days come from, because this 10 days, or the number 10, has been in Scripture for, you know, a while, and I've seen a lot of pattern recognition with 10. Like, for instance, Abraham, he came to Nimrod to be sacrificed, or to be killed, really, because of what he did to his father, Terah. He destroyed his idols. He destroyed all of his gods and told them, if they can't defend themselves, why do you worship them? If they created the heavens and earth, why do you have to feed them that they don't even eat when you place the sacrificial food in front of them? If I can knock and break these down, what kind of Elohim are they and they can't defend themselves? So his father went and told Nimrod, hey, you remember that kid that you wanted me to kill? Well, I didn't kill him, but now he done destroyed my idols and gods. Now you can have him. So that's when he tried to bring Abraham, nothing but his underwear, put him in a hot frying pan. The Most High was with him, didn't allow a hair on his head to be singed. But before that, he was in prison for 10 days. That's why it says in Revelation, Babylon. Nimrod was one running Babylon. This is why the Most High said in Revelation, he said that the beast or Satan will throw some of you in prison for what? How many days? 10 days. Not 11, not 9, not 8, 10 days. And then you will be set free. Just like Abraham was set free after 10 days and passing the test and having loyalty and faith to Yahuwah. Then Joseph, he was supposed to be in prison in Mitzrayim for 10 years. He tried to use the other prisoners that within them to tell Pharaoh that, hey, I got these gifts that I can interpret dreams. Go tell him. Yah made him sit in there for 2 more years because he relied on himself and not relied on the faith of Yahuwah and the strength of Yahuwah and the will of Yahuwah to bring him out of the prison house himself. Yosef relied on his own strength to try to get himself out of bondage. So it was a punishment, and he was 12 years. He added 2 more years to that 10. Moshe, when he was fleeing from Mitzrayim, Moshe, before it was his father-in-law, was cast into prison for 10 years. So for 10 years, he was down there. And they thought he died, but Zipporah was visiting him without her father knowing, giving him food and sustaining him for 10 years. And that's when he left and came out after that 10. So it's other places in scripture that has something to do with the number 10, but like I said, it's all the Most High's will. And if you search and seek and you start understanding pattern recognition of this world, you start definitely understanding the pattern recognition of the Most High scripture. And the world gets most of their knowledge and wisdom, or tries to take most of their knowledge and wisdom from the man that they swear they hate. Which is, like I say, imitation is the highest form of flattery. So they try to imitate a man that they do not like in order to make for themselves their own wisdom that really is plagiarized by the Most High's words and the Most High's will and the Most High's doings. That's what makes this world so pathetic. The more you go into scripture, the more you laugh at this world. Because you start to understand that this is where they get it from. This is where they get their mystery religions from. They get it from like Tubal Cain. They get it from King Solomon. They get their superheroes like Shazam. Shazam got all where his name means all of these myths and goddesses and gods and heroes of Greece and Rome. But the one person that's real, that adds to Shazam's power is wisdom. And where did this wisdom come? Is the first letter in Shazam's name, which is Solomon. That's how pathetic this world is. That's why I don't understand how people worship these celebrities, and these celebrities worship Satan. All these people are brain dead and retarded. This stupor has already started to seize the inhabitants of the earth, because this place is so pathetic that it tries to emulate some righteousness and wisdom of the Torah, and all they did is plagiarize it, water it down, gave you a religion to cope with your insecurities and your failures as a person and your sinful nature, and they give you this and coddle you with it and say, here, take this like a pacifier or a baby rattle. And so many people stay babes in this truth or babes in this law because they don't want to grow up and accept the responsibility of their sinful nature and being lied to and taking accountability of how they were lied to and don't want to turn themselves and say, you know what? I've been lied to. Let me expose all of the truth. Let me shed light on all of the darkness of this world. Let me get away from these celebrities. Let me get away from these games and bread and circuses that they had set up before my eyes. Let me get away from these video games. Let me get away from these women. Let me get away from these worldly men. This is what happens. This is the process you go through in order to find out the calendar. This is what you go through. Most people do not want to go through it because they're so comfortable in Friday, Saturday, Shabbats, which they are not biblical, and they're stuck to a calendar just to appease the 364 when the Most High has said, I'm speeding up this world so I can visit it. It is not your fault that it went from 364 to 354. We are supposed to do as much as we can with what we know. And if you have the ability to know more and do more, then you know more and do more. No one knows all this information. You know what? I'm going to chill on Friday, Saturday, Shabbat. You know what? I'm going to move the calendar to March so I can do the Passover because it's about spring and renewal. I'm going to copy the seasons of the Northern Hemisphere, that sent us into bondage and slavery. I'm going to copy their traditions, their customs, their pagan stuff. If I know, and I know in my heart to be true, if I know that the real biblical lands is in the Southern Hemisphere, that means the calendar that most people are on in March is upside down. That means really Passover and the beginning of the year and the months that's associated with the calendar of Yah's calendar is upside down as well. That means, you know what that means? That means your winters are your summers and your summers are your winters. So this is what I do in my calendar because I'm trying to get as close to Africa as I possibly can without using the time difference is that I use the seasons of Africa. So really, I already did my Pesach in around what? September, October, November, like around, I can't think of it right now because my mind's on fire right now. But around our winter time is when I start doing Passover. So by the time y'all guys are doing the summer, so by the time you're doing the summer feast days, I'm already into the winter feast days because the calendars are upside down in Southern Africa. So I've been trying to match the seasons. So September, October, November is almost like fall. And I think December, January, like when we get to March, April, and May, that's like going into, I don't know, like winter, then it's spring, and then it's summer. Yeah, spring and summer. So my calendar is upside down. That's how I'm following. So right now, to tell you the truth, I'm in the fifth month. In the fifth month, if you go to, I think, Zechariah, it said the fast of the first month, fourth month, fifth month, seventh month, I think. I'm paraphrasing again, but I think you should look it up in the Sefer. Look up fast of the fifth month. And it's supposed to be for joy and for gladness and for the tribe of Yehuda. It's the only fast that's actually mentioned by a tribal name. So if you of Yehuda, if you know you of Yehuda, even if you're not of Yehuda and you're still sojourning, this is the fifth month. There's a fast of the fifth month. Pick a day within this month before the next new moon and you do a fast, which means you don't either eat or drink or, you know, whatever fasting you're doing, not on your phone or not talking to friends or not doing whatever you do usually do for this month, to stop doing it for a day, and then let that be the fast of the fifth month, and you go on to the sixth month. Then it's the seventh month. So the seventh month for me coming up is going to be, I think it's maybe around April or May, where people are now starting to just finish their Pesach. I'm getting ready to do, on the seventh month, my Sukkot, because I've already had Pat Pesach and Shavuot already. So I'm getting ready for Sukkot. While everybody is just now starting to do their Pesach and Feast of Shavuot. So that's how I'm doing my calendar. I'm on the fifth month because I'm trying to follow the seasons in Africa, the real, true biblical land in the Southern Hemisphere. You don't have to follow me. You can stick whatever seasons you want to stick with. You can stick with America. You can stick with the Northern Hemisphere. But I know in my heart, if I want to be as close as I can to the Most High Yah, I'm going to stick with as close as I can in the Southern Hemisphere, into the biblical lands as I can possibly be without having to go there and live there myself. This is what I do when it says seek 10 times more after you have found him. Seek him 10 times more after you find him. How can I seek something if I know the information for me to know that he's in the southern hemisphere, he's in a different land? How hard can I seek? How far am I willing to go to seek? How much do I love this man that I have never met in my life, only felt? How hard can I seek? How can I show him I have a zeal for him? Like Yahushua says, those who have the ability to do should do. To who has been given, much is required. I am not required to work. I'm not required to do a lot of things that you guys have to do to stay afloat in this country and in this system. So I have to do more. You may not be able to be in a position to do what I do, but I have the ability to do it because I am required to do it. And maybe one day when you start seeking as hard as you seek, that he will make it a way for you to seek just as I am seeking. Some of you may even be granted the ability to move to Southern Africa or to move to Africa and to enjoy all other feast days in this proper time. But you will never know if you're too scared to seek. You will never know if you're too uncomfortable, or if you're too comfortable in this calendar and you don't want to be uncomfortable in your lifestyle to seek and search for the Most High yourself. That's the difference between you and I. I wanted to make it a point that I wanted to break myself for the Most High. I wanted to purge myself for the Most High. This is why I talk about being a masochist for Scripture. I don't mind being cut. I don't mind being hurt and broken down, because I know it's going to lead me somewhere. I know that I'm getting rid of my old skin to come into a skin that doesn't rot, a skin that doesn't fester, a skin that doesn't age or grow old or gray. A skin that doesn't scab. That's what I'm preparing myself for. I got to get out of my old skin to step into my new skin. How can I get a glorified body if I'm not ready to do glorified things? I see y'all this coming Sunday.